Hello and welcome to Questcast, your weekly adventure through games. This week we have some NBA 2K19, Prison Architect, lots of Nintendo stuff, board games, and industry antics and silliness, mostly from EA because who else would it be? And we'll get right into it. Your hosts today are Kieran and Caitlin, the usual of the two. Let's get started. So NBA 2K19. This was really good because based on all the stuff that they announced or decided they were coming out with, it got bad reviews. So that's to do with all the virtual currency stuff. So the first day, it was mixed reviews. The second day I looked at it, it was mostly negative. I think it may have went to very negative, but it's back at mostly negative. So that makes me happy that, it doesn't make me happy. It makes me happy that the game got bad reviews because of the way they treated it. It doesn't make me happy that they made a bad game. And from what I've read, it's very warranted. I haven't played it because I'm not going to spend, I think it's $80 Australian.
Far out. Oh, no, that seems about right for like a sports game.
Okay, I will agree with you if it's not unplayable.
Yes.
If you buy this game at the base price, not getting a special edition or something, you don't start with any VC, and your character is so useless that you'll get picked up by the worst team in like the thing. Like it's just
it's called starting a game. What is with people and thinking like, oh, I have to immediately be like super good at the game? It's like,
no, it's not that. Like no matter what your skill, like it's nothing to do with your skill at playing the game. It's that, because like the whole point of, because you're not going straight to the NBA in this. You go to a Chinese team first, I think. But it's always going to be that you get the worst progress. You can't just like actually know the rules a bit and that, and it goes well for you during the training season or whatever it is.
You've got to level up your character. That's the whole point of the
game. Yeah, but it's so grindy. Like, everyone has complained about how bad it is. In the beta, it was still pretty bad, and then the day of release, they made it even worse. Like, they launched everything up to be even grindier. So, if you don't buy VC, you will not make it through the career, basically.
Fair enough.
Like, I understand that, yes, leveling and stuff is part of the game. That is not my issue. My issue is they've brutalized it so much that you feel that the only way to get through it is to actually purchase currency.
Mm-hmm.
Which sucks because, well, I don't know, if you're paying $80 for a game, I'm not saying that I should be the top level in a day. I'm just saying that if you play for the first week, you should feel like you've made some progress, kind of thing, right? That's my issue with it. It also had lots and lots and lots of bugs, from what I understand from people. The game is also a walking advertisement, so not only do they charge $80 for the game, very much incentivize you purchasing microtransactions in it. There's like Nike, Adidas, whatever brands in it. I know there's the Gatorade store in it. So how much did these brands pay for their spots in the game? They're making a lot of money out of it, but they're not offering a good game anymore. I don't even know if they're offering a game anymore, to be honest. But
I mean, wouldn't it be worse if they didn't have realistic brands in the game?
I don't think so, because they used to do parody brands, and that was fun.
But I don't know. I don't see an issue with real brands being
in
there.
It's not the issue of the real brands being in there. It's the issue that they're charging so much for everything in it when you know they're getting even more money from these brands. Because they wouldn't put the brand in there if they didn't pay. That's not 2K style. They're not like, oh, do you want some free advertisement? So it's mostly just about them ripping off every single customer they have, which sucks. But That is life. So, yeah. All right, Prison Architect. Multiplayer. I played this with Sean. There's a Let's Play of it up on the Keskast channel. Sean is my brother. Caitlin did not play. I can't remember what you were doing. Did you just not want to play? I can't remember.
Tomb Raider.
You were doing Tomb Raider. That's fair. Tomb Raider is good. I need to start that. I might do it tonight. It's very good. It's for the game that I thought it wouldn't be that different with playing with someone else, but it definitely, like, it was really fun them doing something and me doing something. It the only hard part was, like, when they finished, like, so I think Sean was building the offices and the kitchen and I was building, like, the cells. I'm like, how do we connect this up without it looking stupid?
Yeah.
Like, we've done two different layouts. It was still really fun.
Yeah.
The bugs we encountered was that when he would buy things, it would charge him twice charge the host twice for it. But, well, it didn't charge it twice. It bought it twice. So your stockpile got filled up with all the stuff that they were doing because they got everything twice. And then new trucks coming in wouldn't be able to deliver the new items because it had filled up with all the stuff that he had done twice.
Yeah.
Well, not that he had done twice, but.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah. So that was hard. So you had to sit there manually selling all this stuff and trashing all this stuff to keep the game going and had a lot of connection issues.
Yes.
But it is a beta. Other than that, it worked really well. Like, for me, because usually if it's a beta where it's, you know, kind of on the public release, like, oh, the game still single player still works, you can press the multiplayer button. But for this, you actually had to go into the Steam options, click the experimental branch, all that kind of stuff. So it worked pretty well for, like, that's how experimental it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you feel like it, give it a go. Though, if you want to play, like, a serious save where things are where you're not buying things twice and your money's not going down super ridiculously fast, our guards also kept getting stuck. So I'm not sure if it was trying to work it out between what he was – I don't know what it was doing. They were, like, all going to the yard. I had four guards, and I just can't, like, I had to start with one. I'm like, oh, why is he sticking out? Oh, I'll hire another one. Maybe he's, like, patrolling that area. And they all just kept going. I had, like, four in the end, and they were just, like, hanging just out in the yard.
Being really thorough.
In this one specific spot. Or maybe I just got the four lazy guys. They were just like,
did you set their paths and stuff?
No, because you have to research. Right? You have to research that.
Oh.
It's one of the early researches, but you have to research patrols.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, they just walk around. But otherwise, yeah, it was good. Okay. I am looking forward to when it's ironed out.
I'm looking forward to when it works.
Yeah. It very much reminds me of Stardew Valley in, like, the whole how the co-op thing works. I think we're going to get a lot of simulation games like this with co-op.
Yeah, that looks good.
Which I'm happy with. I wonder if they'll do it for RimWorld.
I mean,
I don't know if it's
pretty, like, similar, isn't it? So
it is, but, like, it's the way that you control all the people. I guess it would actually be better in RimWorld because you can actually militarily control the characters. So, like, maybe one person's doing all the melee ones and you do all the ranged ones. And you're,
or someone's working on building the base while you're sending out, like, controlling the hunters and gathering resources and stuff.
Yeah. All right. I'm down. RimWorld, make it happen.
Cool.
So another game, Ashen. Mm-hmm. I am fairly certain this is for PC and Xbox One. It is an open world RPG with a stylized, cartoon shaded or toon shaded stylized look.
Uh-huh.
It's got Souls-like combat with, like, a unique town progression system. So as you go through, I think it's sandboxy. Based on the gameplay video we just saw, I think it's very sandbox and you go do quests out in this big open world and it doesn't upgrade your town, but, like, if you save someone, they might move to your town and open up some new crafting options or a thing like that. The developer was saying that everyone should have, like, a unique town. So I think here's what I worry about. Either it is very unique and, like, I would love going through two different playthroughs where, like, I get different weapon choices because of, like, the people I chose to save.
Everything changes.
Or is it unique, like, oh, you got them in a different order, so they set up in the town in different spots.
Yeah, so, like, layout-wise it's different, but essentially it's the same.
I don't know which it is.
Yeah.
But I've been burned before. And I'll be burned again.
Yes.
I appreciate that everyone wants to say that, like, their game's all customizable and different every time, but is it?
Yeah, I mean, just be honest about it. Like, don't make it sound like it's more than it is.
Because you'll get more negative reviews if you lie about it.
Oversell it, yeah.
Yeah, if you, like, if you, what was that game? If you No Man's Sky it, like.
What was that game?
Yeah, if you No Man's Sky it and it's like, yeah, it's, you know, it's definitely got, like, very in-depth, like, you can burrow down to the core of the world and then blow it up and then recreate the universe from scratch, but not really. It's actually just a really bad sim game.
Yeah, you just fly around, look at animals.
Do you know what, actually? Everything that I heard about it and everything that disappointed people, like, everyone I know is mostly disappointed that you couldn't crash your ship.
Jesus.
Because, okay. Well, because, like, you know, it makes it feel more rewarding to land your ship and do everything.
That's true.
If you can crash it, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, if you just, like, fly on the planet and it's just, like, kind of spore-like and nothing really bad happens, it doesn't feel as rewarding. And I agree with that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because, I guess all the other space sims that my friends play, you can do that, like Elite Dangerous and Star Citizen.
Yeah.
So there's that. What else about Ashen? Is there anything else? The weapons looked fun. The combat looked really good, actually. It definitely looked Dark Souls, like there was, like, dodging and stuff, but more forgiving, I'd guess I'd say.
No, you don't know yet.
No, it could be really hard and the person playing was just epic. But the special moves looked really good. What I liked about it is there was definitely a stamina bar, so if you just mash the button, it will go down. Yeah. But it looked like if you were fighting normally, you're probably not going to run out of stamina.
Yep.
Which I like. I hate games where you have to wait. Like, you do a move or, like, you do three moves and you're like...
Oh, and then you're like, I've got no stamina.
I've got no stamina. I just have to dodge for, like, 10 seconds to get my stamina. That's a terrible... I've got to
run around in circles kiting you.
It's so bad. While, like, my stamina regens. It does not offer anything. And some games like that, it's like, oh, you didn't level up your stamina. I'm like, I shouldn't have to.
Yeah, just let me run.
The only time I think that would be okay is if it's, like, a really... main stat realistic kind of RPG, like if you don't level up, like, the character's constitution and stuff, he gets exhausted really quickly and that's, like, visible, but you might be, like, really smart and you can go do, like, the tech stuff.
Yeah,
but if it's a game like this where it's mostly just combat and you're not doing doing a lot of character development. Like, you've got to make the combat good.
Yeah.
Like, the combat has to not be bad. If you're in a game where combat is an option and you're choosing to be better at, like, the social and the tech kind of stuff.
Yep.
I'm happy for not necessarily the combat to be bad, but for your character to be bad at combat.
Yes.
Which I think are very two different game styles.
I mean, yeah, if they give you the option to approach things differently.
Yeah, but this game is not that.
But if they're going to make you do combat, then...
And games like this are not that. Like, yes. Combat focused, make sure the combat is fun and that you're not waiting to combat, I guess. Well, it's like when I was watching you play Darksiders, actually, and you ran out of, like, stamina. Was it stamina or something else? Like, there was just a lot of stuff you ran out of all the time, so you were just dodging and waiting for it to come back. And
yeah.
It feels bad, man. Feels bad.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, on to some Nintendo stuff, because there's a lot of it. Luigi's Mansion is getting a remake on the 3DS. And also a new Luigi's Mansion is coming out, I think.
Wait.
Is what I heard.
They're remaking it on the 3DS.
Yep. It was like a GameCube game.
They're not doing it on Switch?
No, I think they're doing the new one on Switch.
Bullshit.
Or they're doing it on Switch as well. But
why wouldn't they?
The direct one, the Nintendo Direct I saw, definitely 3DS. But two players can play. Now, if you both own the game, you can play it together. But if only one of you owns the game, you can go back through and play the bosses and, like, that whole share way of doing
it. Oh, okay.
Which I actually think is appropriate. Like, the fact that they offer that kind of stuff at all is better than everybody else.
True.
Which Nintendo gets some things right, like really right, and then other things boggle my mind mm-hmm. with them. Like, mm-hmm. just I look at them and I'm like, why are you doing what? No one's going to enjoy it. Like, you don't even enjoy this. Why are you doing it?
Come on now.
So yeah, I liked Luigi's Mansion. It was a very unique game, and Luigi finally got a game, I guess.
Poor Luigi.
It's actually really funny because it's just such the type of game that Luigi would get. Like, I don't know how to explain what game he would get, but Mario gets all, like, the bright bubbles and stuff, and Luigi gets this dark mansion where, yeah, like,
this scary thing that, like, kids are going to not want to play.
Like, it just, I feel like that is the perfect game for him. So
poor thing.
That comes out October 12th. Now, this one will excite you. Pokemon Let's Go, Eevee and Pikachu. It comes out November 16th. They've changed it up a bit, and I like this. The secret technique, only your Pikachu or Eevee can do them, replaces kind of the HM thing, like when you need to cut down a tree or go past stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's that. There's also some special moves in combat that only your Pikachu or Eevee can do. Now, I like this.
Is this an attempt to make you keep your starter Pokemon?
I think so.
Right.
But that's the thing I don't like about it, is that it's limiting you to always having this thing. And I get it that they want to make it feel like, oh, you love this one Pokemon.
This thing? Excuse me?
Okay, so this Eevee or Pikachu. And they're trying to make it feel like I guess, the show where he gets Pikachu at the start and he goes through the whole thing.
Yeah.
But what if I don't want Eevee or Pikachu to be that Pokemon for me? Like,
Then don't get the game.
Yeah, but it's like the new Pokemon games on Switch, right? It's, although they are doing Sun and Moon or whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it though? Or is this just like a interim?
I don't know. It's like a full-on proper one.
Like, with its own stuff. Like,
yeah.
It's not like a, you know, when they...
And it makes sense, actually.
When they brought out the yellow version of Pokemon and it was literally just exactly the same as Red and Blue, but Pikachu followed you around.
Yeah, so this actually makes sense because they always do it in twos. So, like, yeah. Eevee and Pikachu are the two different versions, right?
Yep.
So I think this would make sense that it's their next one. But, like, if I wanted a Charmander to follow me around. Eevee's great, actually.
Yeah, what? See, I lucked out because Eevee's my favorite, so.
No, it's a lot of people's favorites, which is why they chose it.
Oh, okay.
Like, you didn't luck out. You're just the same as everybody else.
Excuse me.
You are not unique in the Pokemon loving department.
I don't know anyone else whose favorite is Eevee.
Everyone who goes into, like, Shin-Tokyo. There's a reason.
Yeah, I don't know anyone.
Do you know anyone that likes Pokemon?
Yes.
Fair enough. Maybe, I don't know. A lot of people, I can't name any off the top of my head, but I know just a lot of people say Eevee is their favorite Pokemon. To me, though, I do love Eevee because of how many different evolutions it has.
Yeah.
Now, that's cool.
Eevee is awesome.
What else is there? I can't think of anything else for it, but it looks good. I do like that, because when they first started doing the 3D games versus the 2D ones, like, they were very, like, you've made it 3D, but everything still feels 2D, whereas they're starting to actually feel like third person games rather than just you've made the same thing, but you spent more time on it kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is good. It's really good. Now, this actually really excites me, the next thing. Asmodee Digital are making board, like, kind of like Tabletop Simulator on Steam.
Okay.
They're doing that for Nintendo Switch. There's games like Catan and Carcassonne. And the control, like, everything's really well made for the Switch. Like, you can select the cards and, like, do everything kind of easily from what I could see of the four board games this year. I don't remember what the other two were.
Cool.
They were two that I haven't played before, which is why I can't remember them. Whereas I've played Catan and Carcassonne. It looks really good, though. There's local co-op. There's online co-op. Like, it's everything you would want from, a board game simulator on the Switch. But it, it looked easy to use. I hope it's not expensive.
Yes.
Because it's one of those things that it could be like 15. Oh, it has a lot of IP in it, like Catan and Carcassonne.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It might be expensive, yeah, but worth
it. Is this going to be the sort of thing where it's like the simulator is free, or low cost, but you have to buy the games that you want to play? Or is it going to come with everything?
I hope it comes with everything, because otherwise it's too much effort.
Yeah.
Personally. So, because I already don't like playing tabletop simulator when someone's like, oh, I want to play this new board game, and then everyone has to go get the assets for it. Admittedly, it's hard on tabletop simulator. It's not like you can just go in the menu in the game and get it.
Yeah, it's a bit tough.
You have to go to the Steam Workshop and do all that stuff, which makes it terrible. I do love that. We don't do it much, but I do love how the Switch can just have four Joy-Cons and like four people can play. Like, I think it'll be really good for this board game stuff. And when we have our own place and can do like have people over to do that, I think it'll be really good.
Yes,
I think so. I think it could be terrible.
Yeah, I mean, as long as the functionality of it is
well, they've definitely good. Yeah, like, if developers are making this kind of stuff for it, it's because it works well. It's
yeah.
Like, you don't see them doing this on Xbox or PlayStation. Like, PlayStation and Xbox get decent single-player games, PlayStation more so than Xbox. But, yeah, like, Switch, like, people are like, yeah, let's make party. Like, party games are back.
Mm.
Oh, I saw the new Mario Party, actually. It looks so fun.
Okay. Like, what? Different?
No, just like the games and stuff look really good.
Okay. Actually, have I seen something?
You probably have. They did a bit last Nintendo Direct when they announced Super Smash Ultimate.
Maybe. Yeah, I feel like I've seen some stuff for it, but maybe I haven't. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. Going on. Final Fantasy. They announced a lot of Final Fantasy stuff. But Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. Did you ever play this?
No.
So it was on the GameCube. But if you were to play multiplayer, everyone had to have a Nintendo... What was the one at the time? Game Boy Advanced, maybe? And you had to plug that into the GameCube. So four Jesus. People had to do it. Now, the reason this was, it was kind of the Switch. Like, your Game Boy Advance was the menu and how you controlled everything.
Yeah.
So not everyone had their menus up on the screen and stuff. It was, like, an innovative idea.
I was going to say, that's
terrible execution.
Yeah. I was going to say, that sounds, like, really good for the time. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like, the idea the tech and stuff behind it was cool.
But, God, that would be expensive.
This reminds me of the whole Japanese developer thing again. Like, someone was just like, no, we're going to do this thing. Like, it's really good.
Everyone's just like, nobody's going to like it.
Yeah, but, like, they thought, oh, it's an innovative idea.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. And it was, like, it was good. But I, like, me and my brother come from, we were a home that had all the stuff to do it. I know a lot of people that may have only had a GameCube and not the game, and the Game Boy Advance wasn't as popular as the rest.
No.
So
I never had one.
Yeah, see, you
and know. I had like all of the Game Boy like stuff. Either I was way. Like, you know, new Game Boy came out or like the 3DS or the DS. I had all that.
Yeah.
Never had a Game Boy Advance.
But no one's going out buying a Game Boy Advance to play this game with, like, their brother. And if you have the game, if you had it on GameCube, mm-hmm. you couldn't just buy a one Game Boy Advance to play two-player. You had to get two. As soon as you switched to using Game Boy Advances, you couldn't use any of the normal controls.
Huh.
Like, it was poorly done. Anyway.
I mean, I get why. But, yeah.
I get what they were thinking. It was wrong. I objectively think it was wrong.
Yeah.
Especially, like, in a time where gaming wasn't as big as it is now, people weren't spending as much money on it.
Mm.
Like, it was, I think, it, as a business decision, it was wrong. As a gameplay decision, it was wrong. So what they're doing now is it's going to be online compatible. Now, that's really good because everyone's Switch is a portable thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they can do what they want with it.
Yep.
I hope, and I don't think they're going to, make a local co-op version so I could just play with someone else, and they've just decided to make the UI for it better.
Okay.
But they didn't announce anything like that. To be fair, they didn't announce much for it, though. So they did announce online things. They are adding new content to the game, so there's new parts of dungeons and stuff. Now, I actually haven't told you, because you haven't played the game before. What we really liked about it is you kind of went out on adventures and you pick a profession, and if you level your character up, your profession in the town, like your family got better at what they did.
Mm-hmm.
So if I think there was 8 people could play. So if you pick someone and I pick someone, we play those two professions in the town.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of either play the other characters yourself or other people in your family could do it. It was really cool because if you had like a family of 4 people, each could just play the game as they wanted. So you could do this single player. Mm-hmm. And because what me and my brother did before, if we wanted to, like I could just go do dungeons by myself and play it.
Mm-hmm.
And then my stuff got leveled up and he'd have more options when he went to play it. And then when he'd level up, I'd have more options. Kind of thing.
So like you'd go off and play separately and then come back and play together,
or even if we didn't play together, if I go do my stuff with my character, which is like my family in the game, I guess.
Yeah.
If I'm the leather workers and I level them up, when he comes back, that shop would have more stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, like it was like that. Nintendo did a lot of that because they did that with Animal Crossing as well, where you would play, like, different people could log in and it's the same town on the system kind of thing. It was cool. It's obviously not needed in days like today where everyone can just play online together. Yeah. But I liked, like, what they did with the limited technology they had back then.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all for Final Fantasy. I am really looking forward to it because of how difficult they made it to play back then.
Yeah.
Just having the game again to play accessibly, I guess, is nice.
He is hoping.
Yeah. So that's that for – there's a lot more Nintendo stuff, actually. So a new Animal Crossing got announced. They showed 3 seconds of it. I'm – probably going to play the shit out of it. It's going to be really good. I can't wait. There was lots of new arcade games. There's like a Capcom beat-em-up thing coming out. 2K, FIFA. This is the most third-party games I've seen on a Nintendo console in a long time, though, which is good and bad. But the amount of games they announced today, the store is not good for it. Their store has zero algorithms or searching methods.
Yeah. It's like, not fantastic.
It's... if it was just Nintendo games, which is how, like, 100% how they've designed it for, like, you can just look at it and just be like, yeah, if you had your 8 Nintendo games that came out this year, this would be a great store. But because you've got the 8 Nintendo games, the 700 indie games, and, like, the 200 third-party games, like, I can't find anything I want to.
Yeah. They'll probably, hopefully, be doing some sort of update for that once they start getting... heavier traffic, surely.
Yeah, I don't think so. Anyway, that's all for new games. Let's go into talking about the Nintendo Direct specifically. So what I think, they not only is that menu just poor designed, they a lot of people complaining about cloud saves and a lot of other decisions they're making currently. What was it? So cloud saves... if you unsubscribe from online, you only get cloud saves if you subscribe to online, by the way, mm-hmm. which is silly. But if you unsubscribe, it's not, they're not sure how, like, from what people have looked into, they're not sure how long, but it does say that it will delete your saves.
Right.
So if you unsubscribe and you want your saves back, like the saves that you had backed up will get removed after some undisclosed amount of time.
Right.
Also, the new feature for Nintendo, the virtual console, whatever they're calling it now.
Okay.
If you don't log on your Switch each week online, so you have to do it once a week, you won't be able to play those games.
What? Yes. Why? What?
So once you've downloaded it, to keep playing it, you have to, you can only play them for 1 week after you've been online last. So if you want to keep playing, like, let's say you're like me, who kind of only plays on public transport. Not that I have for a bit, but, like, I don't really come home, turn my Switch on to connect to the internet to do anything. I kind of play on the play on public transport. I get home, I put it on charge, I go back to playing on public transport. I don't, like...
What happens?
You just... when you can't open the game until you go back online.
Oh, so you, in theory, like, you could connect back up, go online, and then you could play it again.
Yeah, it's...
It doesn't just, like, go away or...
No, it doesn't go away or anything, which, it's just, like, kind of an F you to people who pay for this stuff.
Yeah, I don't really understand what, why, why?
It's... In what people think, it's Nintendo thinking, oh, if we make them go on, like, it'll give less chance of, like, a hacker or a person who got it illegally. I don't know. Like, if someone's gotten it illegally or hacked it or something, they haven't done the online thing and it doesn't matter. They've already broken your system. You're only hurting people that, what, like, pay for it.
Oh, is this like, so hang on, is this only if you have a subscription?
Yeah, you only get the service if you got the subscription.
Right, anyway. So it's to make you keep the subscription.
Yeah,
that is what it is.
Yeah, probably. That makes sense. And I get it. I get it. The what is annoying though, the PlayStation one for PlayStation Plus. If your last recorded subscription ended on, let's say, you paid for a year, mm-hmm. your game, your access, even if you don't go online, only expires on your console when the last recorded ending date of the subscription is. It's not like a weekly checkup or something. So if you've got 2 months left but you don't go online, it'll at least let you play for that new 2 months kind of thing, which is a much better system than this Nintendo one, especially since the Nintendo one is $20 a year. So most people are going to spend $20 for a year and then have to go online every week.
Yeah.
It's actually inconvenient for me to do that the way I play my Switch, a portable console.
Yes.
I did see a lot of talk about, like, based on what we've been saying over the last few weeks, or like us discussing how the Japanese run their companies and they kind of trust one person to make the decisions. I saw a lot of people talking about that on message boards and stuff, about how Nintendo have people that make these decisions and they've gotten really old now. Like, all the people making that run Nintendo are like well into their 70s, 60s and 80s, and they
need some fresh blood.
There was a designer that, or there was a person who had a meeting with them, and he came out of the meeting saying, yeah, they don't understand what gaming is like now. They all their talking points are like, oh, kids won't understand that and things like that. Like, more than just kids play your consoles, but they don't know that. They don't care about learning.
Yeah, they just haven't kept up with the times. They're at a point.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuck in time, basically.
Which is good and bad. Now, I say that because the good thing of it, they do make very innovative games because they don't do what everyone else is doing. It's their business practices that really fall behind in it, though. Like, they're not doing what everyone else is doing, which is surprisingly, what everyone else is doing for their customers on their, like, their storefronts and stuff is good for the customer.
Mm.
It's what people, like, it's what other companies are doing in their games that's bad for the customer.
Yeah, so if we could just get these a nice two
mix
together.
Just need a nice mix. So, because, yeah, they do make very easy to understand games, which are definitely, now that I think about after hearing about that story, definitely aimed at ease of access for children.
Mm.
It's just convenient that adults have fun playing it as well.
Yeah, well, lucky by the sounds of it.
But that being said, it's not every developer. Like, the people making Super Smash or Smash Ultimate or whatever it's called definitely have competitive esports in mind now. They have grown with the times.
Yeah.
It's because each franchise and each part, like, the people that decide for Nintendo as a whole are probably a lot less connected with the gaming world than the designer or the leader, I think they called it.
Yep.
Of a franchise, like the person who does Smash is obviously like, all right, the world's doing esports now. We're going to turn this into more esporty.
Yep.
The person doing Breath of the Wild's like, you know, open world's a thing and that kind of stuff.
Mm.
So they definitely have all their different parts of their big machine that do not talk to each other.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, at all. They're just like, yeah, you. But if they did, I reckon their games would come out worse. Like, they for their games, like the person who's like nurtured this franchise, like a Zelda or the Mario or the Super Smash, they definitely know where they want to take it, and they don't get interrupted by like stakeholders and stuff,
mm-hmm.
which definitely makes the games better in my opinion. That like they're not there to, like, they're there to make money, but their first and foremost is to be enjoyable and playable. Because it's this one person that has a vision of what they want an enjoyable, playable game to be. They're not, they don't have this vision of like, oh, I'm going to make this thing that makes so much money.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is really good. I cannot understate how good that is. And we should really be thankful for that. I just also wish... It's actually funny. It seems like their business isn't out to make money as well at the same time. Like, they're not doing all the... Like, if they could easily release all their content again, like their virtual console stuff, and make heaps of money.
Yeah.
They don't do that because they obviously care about other things than money.
Yeah.
It's really funny how we want them to do these things for money at the same time. We don't want them to do these things for money.
We want them to do these things for us and... In turn, it would make the money.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, like, they don't have to do much to make... Like, to pay all their salaries for the next 10 years.
Mm.
They could release, like, half of their, like, backlog.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, all right, we're retiring? Yep, cool.
Sounds great.
Like, it amazes me. And it... I think it really does show, from all that stuff that I read, that they definitely do not pay attention to what's happening in other cultures and other companies for... what's going on and what are the norms of business practices for games.
Mm.
And you can kind of, you can definitely tell by the way they present their games. It's just the one guy who runs Nintendo and it has a translator over there, like, yeah, we're doing these cool things.
Yeah.
And like Xbox and PlayStation are putting on these big shows with fancy lights and like confetti.
Yeah. They're
like, yeah. And then Phil Spencer comes out and he's just like, I don't understand how to talk to crowds, but I'm going to do it.
That's true.
So I love hate their approach, which is better than the hate I have for the other approaches.
It's true. Very true.
So that's me sad. Do you have any stuff that you're looking forward to on the Switch, actually?
There's
a lot of stuff coming out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I am utterly surprised by, like, every day there's just like, oh, this is being remastered for the Switch, or this new game's coming out for the Switch, or this exclusive's coming out for the Switch. There's even like some exclusives for the Switch that aren't Nintendo, which is unheard of.
Yeah,
like,
oh, that's good.
It's really good, but I am really turned off still, like, as I said before, by the store, like all the stuff that's coming out. Yeah. I'm just like, oh look at it when it comes out, and then I never get the chance to, because I never get presented with it again.
That's true.
Like,
I think you could add it to like a wish list or something, but still, you shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah. Diablo 3 is coming out for the Switch, actually, and it looked really good. Like, they've definitely changed up how the controls and stuff work, mm-hmm. and it's local co-op.
Hmm.
And there's, you can get like Ganondorf armor and stuff like that.
Ooh.
So that I might actually want to play because of the co-op, by the way. If it was just I bought the game and played through it, I'd probably be a lot less interested. But like playing with two or three people in like a hack and slash kind of Diablo-esque thing, it can be really fun.
Yes. Yeah, it would be.
Have you seen, speaking of Final Fantasy stuff on Nintendo, actually, the Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition?
No.
So what they've done is they've gotten Final Fantasy 15, same world, same story, but they've dumbed down the graphics and made them kind of like Amiibo or pop figurine looking guys.
Okay.
So everyone just looks like low poly that. It's to run on like phones and stuff like that.
Wait. I think I have.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm actually a little bit impressed. I'm like, that's a good way of, like, they haven't dumbed down the features or anything. It's just, we'll just make everything exactly the same, but just can run on a phone.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't seen that.
Have you seen World of Final Fantasy or something? That's also a game that looks like kind of phone-like, but is not one of the major things.
I don't know.
I don't know what you're saying. All right. Let's get on to the meat of stuff. So, what's been happening in the industry, Caitlin?
I don't know.
Do you want me to tell you?
Sure.
The Belgian government is investigating / suing EA because EA decided to ignore them and their laws about the gambling in their games.
Oh.
So they were just like, oh, that's your interpretation of the law. We're like in the country where it's their law. Like complete business dick move.
Yeah.
It just proves like, because the reason they're doing it is for FIFA, because I think they're just refusing to take the card packs out of FIFA, which make the, like, I imagine the sales of FIFA as just a off-the-shelf product make them 25% of what their card packs make in that game. Even less, maybe.
Yeah.
Based on, like, you see people spending $10,000.
Oh, Jesus.
Do you remember that story that broke a few weeks ago?
Yes.
Yeah, fuck that shit. So, they're taking them to court. Now, that is good / bad. If the Belgian government loses, that means everyone else in Belgium can then start putting... Because everyone else just kind of took their things out. They're like, we don't want to take this fight. Like... But EA, being EA, like what when they had Battlefront, Battlefront 2, they're just like, we don't care what the industry is doing. We're going to make the mistakes for everybody. And they really do, because what's going to happen as well, if they lose this, then every other game company's like, why'd you have to go and lose that? Now other countries are going to start being like, well, and it has. Finland is now investigating loot boxes.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be... From what I can tell, the more countries that do this, it's just going to be a domino effect. And for gambling commissions, actually, like gambling, because like the gambling commissions in some countries make their own money and do their own laws and stuff, and they're like a government agency sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're like, well, if we can charge people for this, that gets more tax paid to us, and we can pay people in like staff and or whatever. People do to tell themselves that their tax is a good tax.
Yeah.
That stuff. So, like, why would they not start wanting to make this a law?
Yeah.
What did someone say? So, yeah, if the Belgian government loses it, because what it is loot boxes, the case is going to be, is loot box covered under this gambling law? Even if they lose, they can just change the law to say loot boxes are 100% gambling.
Yeah.
Like, they are doing it in court, like, to make it say, yeah, this is actually, like, based on what our law says, this is gambling. But even if they argue their way out of it and, like, actually the way loot boxes are formed, they're technically not, they'll be like, all right, updates the law. Mm. It's gambling now. And then they'll just be like, well, we all wasted millions of dollars for nothing. Because that's how courts
yeah.
work.
Yeah.
Because, like, they're both just, like, both sides. Like, I cannot imagine how much EA is going to pay some lawyer. Whoever that lawyer is, like, that firm or whatever is, you know, you are making...
So good luck to them.
Well, whether they lose or win, they're getting paid. They're just not getting paid again after if they lose.
Yeah, that's true.
They're just, you know, going to find new clients.
Mm.
But, yeah, it is a stupid fight for EA to take. Really. Realistically.
Mm.
Like, they're so desperate to keep that in there, which shows how much money it must be making them.
Mm.
But, because, like, even if they win, they'll probably lose in the end by them changing the law or doing something like that. Maybe. I don't know how they're...
Yeah, I don't know how it
laws
works.
Would have to be voted in and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think it would take a while.
It may take a while, but it could be one of those things that, like, they give themselves another year before it's never allowed to ever happen again. And in that time, they'll just be like, we'll make as much money as we can. But this, leading on to the Finland thing, it's definitely going to be taking off. I think these more progressive countries like Finland and Sweden and Switzerland, like especially the ones that are really, like, their governments are more tech-focused and getting kids learning programming and stuff shows mm-hmm. that the lawmakers and the politicians have a much better understanding of technology's future.
Yeah.
I think they're much more proactive at being like, yeah, this is definitely, like, not good for our kids and not good for, like, a
society.
And... So, yeah, we're getting rid of that.
Yeah.
Because it's like you can definitely see them how, like, the way they care about it. Hawaii, I think the government of Hawaii or the gambling commission of Hawaii, or the state of Hawaii or whatever in America actually started it because that guy came out saying how bad loot boxes are for your kids and stuff at, like, a press conference. I can't remember exactly what it was about. But that's when, like, a bunch of other countries were like, yeah, let's look into this.
Yeah, it's probably bad.
But, yeah, every other company, they just said, all right, we won't put loot boxes in Belgium.
Yeah.
So we'll still make money everywhere else. That's fine. We'll just shut up and not do it there. Whereas, you know, EA being EA, we're like, no, we can take them.
Yeah.
We can take on the internet.
Hold my beer.
$4.99. That one. Yeah. What do you, without looking into exactly all the stuff about it, because I haven't, like, there's a lot of there's a lot of people saying EA is going to
win
and a lot of people saying, you know, I could find 8 million opinions on this on the internet. What are your thoughts?
On, like, what specifically?
EA's case against the government.
Here's the thing. I don't know anything about the law.
Neither do I.
That Belgium has. At the current moment in regards to gambling and whatever. So it's really hard for me to say whether they have a good case or not. Like, because, and I don't really know how the Belgian government rules on the, wait, is this, assuming this is based in Belgium, right?
Nah, definitely based in, like, Japan. Yes, like, it's Belgium.
No, well, do you know what I mean? Because, like, it depends on
where the chocolates are made.
Where the case is being actually.
Yes, it will be there.
Overseen. Right. So if it's in Belgium, then it depends on how their government generally rules on things, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Which doesn't really make sense because that's a little bit biased. Like, how can EA expect to have a fair trial if, like, the country that is suing them is also the one deciding the case?
That's what makes them stupid for fighting it in the – like
– like, I just don't understand how this is working. There must be something more to it than
– no, there's not.
Like
– countries – like, different government agencies can actually sue and then, like, a judge – is meant to look at it objectively and rule based on what his interpretation of the law is kind of Yeah, you know, 100% there is favoritism and all that kind of stuff brought into it, but it would never be legally binding, or like you would never be able to legally tie it to someone because it would just make like,
yeah, I don't know. Him this or her still would seems just the- super shoddy. But anyway, I don't know. I guess it would depend on like how, because in most cases, all you need is like a soup, like just the tiniest technicality to get out of saying, like, of being able to say, nah, that this law doesn't apply here.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a huge dramatic thing generally. It's like, if you can just vaguely cast some doubt into whether it's covered or not, like, that's generally pretty good, like, good enough for it to be, like, thrown out.
Yeah.
You have to prove, like, 100% without a doubt that they are covered, like, under this law, or that it's reasonable enough to expect that it would be covered.
Yeah, and they're opening a criminal investigation as well, which is, like, going into the whole court hearing.
Mm.
So it's not like they're just outright taking them to court. Like it's a normal, not normal. Cause what is it? There's, there's essentially corporate criminal things and, like murder and stuff. They're different types of law. I can't remember the names of them.
You're talking about like felonies and, or what are you actually talking about?
Well, you know how like, there's criminal hearings for like when someone evades tax versus when someone murders someone. That they're two different types of crime. Like,
you're talking about like white collar.
Yeah, but there's actual official names for it. I can't remember what it is though. Do you remember their names?
I'm not quite certain of what it is that you're actually.
Well, so if like one person decides to go on a murder spree, that's considered differently, and I think it even goes to a different court than when a company, falsifies information to a bunch of its customers.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the difference in it, and that makes me sad. It's like commercial law versus personal. I don't know. It's gonna bother me for a long time though, which makes me sad. So, what have you been playing this week?
Tomb Raider.
You've been playing Tomb Raider: Rise of the Tomb Raider, right? Is that the second
one? I think that's the second one.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider is the new one. Oh, that came out this week, and I've heard amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to stay away from hearing too many amazing things because I want to play it, but it sounds good.
I've managed to not hear any things until you just said the thing.
Oh, I've really, like, really only heard, oh, it's amazing. Also, what have I been playing? I played Prison Architect multiplayer. I played Roller Coaster Tycoon for the first time in a long time. And God, that game is fun. Like, I forgot how fun that game was. I loved all the sounds in it, and it might be a lot of nostalgia that's making me enjoy it, but goddamn, I was having fun. So play Roller Coaster Tycoon, everybody. I'm a lot better at it than when I was a kid. Like, I remember all my parks failing when I was young. I was just like, why aren't they going on my ride that kills people?
Jesus.
Like, not that bad, but like, I was just like, oh, I made a fun park. Why wasn't it working? Whereas now I'm like, oh, that's not going well, lower the price. Like, I'm definitely micromanaging it a lot more.
Yeah.
I was a dumb kid, basically, is what I'm thinking right now. I played too much Dota. I got Dota Plus, and it seems rewarding, but, like, when you get, like, I paid for Dota Plus and then lost, like, 12 games after, I'm like, God damn.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
Yeah. I don't mind. I had fun. That's what matters, right? To some people, like me. Yeah. All right. I think that's all for this week. Have a bit of an early one. So, thanks all for listening. You can catch us on Twitter at twitter.com/Kescast, or you could search for Kescast on YouTube. We do Let's Plays. Like, you can check out the Let's Play of Prison Architect. What else can they can you can email us at play@cascast.com. You could send a pigeon to us with a question, maybe, and maybe we'll get it, or the pigeon will get eaten or hit by a truck. I don't know. That, by the way, I need to look that up. I still don't know how pigeon carrying works, because I'm like, because they, from what I know, they have to know both locations already. They have to be trained to do that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not as like a miracle as like everyone makes it look like.
No, it's
in
not
the movies.
Like it's an SMS pigeon.
Yeah.
Where you can just be like, oh, go over here now.
Go find Steve. Where's Steve? I don't know. Find him.
Yeah.
All right.
You tell me.
So, yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good week, and we'll see you next time.